1 Kings 18. We're going to be looking at verses 41 through 46. Again, the title of the message is A Change of Seasons. The Bible says, Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And so he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." And so he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel, and then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I want to just say a quick word of prayer, if it's okay. I can feel my voice straining, and I need the Lord to help me. So we thank you this morning for your word, Lord. I ask that your grace and anointing would be on my life to help me to do what you've called me to do, that my voice would be strong. I thank you, Lord. I receive that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so in this time of Israel's history, Israel had become two nations, the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel. They had basically a split, a civil war, if you will. And due to Solomon's sins, division crept its way into the fabric of the people of God. And while the southern kingdom retained its loyalty to God and to the worship of God and the temple that God had them build, the northern kingdom, and the southern kingdom is called Judah, the northern kingdom is called Israel. And so the northern kingdom fashioned two golden calves and substituted them as a means of worship to God. You say, how could they do that? You know, we do that too. We place our own idols that we bow down to, and we say, well, we do it in the name of God, but it's really not God. It's really in the name of self. And then after some time, a man by the name of Ahab became king, and under his reign, he, along with the instigator of this, Jezebel, his wife, began to serve wholeheartedly another god whose name was Baal or Baal. This false god was believed to be by its worshipers to be the being that was in charge of the rain. And rain was important because that was an agricultural society. If it didn't rain, the crops wouldn't grow. And so what this worship of Baal sought to do was to give them control. They didn't have to trust. They could just have control because if they did everything right, everything would go the way they wanted. And so being an agricultural society, the rain was of supreme importance to the prosperity of the people and the prosperity of the nation. And again, if you're familiar with the story, we already looked at it a little bit. God sent Elijah to prophesy that there would be no rain except by his word. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. And Elijah was persona non grata. He was being looked out for by the government. You know, he was probably wearing a MAGA hat. And that was not a MAGA administration. Let's just put it that way. So for the whole time, there was this drought. The national economy was also in shambles. And finally, Elijah received the word of the Lord to confront the prophets of Baal. And in this showdown, God showed his power as he brought fire down to consume a sacrifice offered to him at the prayers of his servant Elijah. And thus the challenge revealed who was the true God of Israel. In fact, the challenge ended with the people shouting, "The Lord, he is God." At that, the prophets of Baal were seized and slaughtered, and we moved into the next section of the account that brings us to where we are today. By the way, just as an aside, it was when the people of God recognized the true God that all of a sudden the God of the land, the idol of the land, was now subject to being torn down. Right? So how do you bring down powers and principalities? You preach the gospel, and when people begin to give their allegiance toward God, and they begin to, okay, you can confess God and still have idols. And they begin to abandon their idolatry. Well, what are our idols today? Self. It's what I want, not what God wants. Money, fame, notoriety. All of these things can be idols. But I'm a Christian. Yeah, but you still may have these idols in your life. But when these things begin to be torn down and the worship of God becomes prevalent in the land, then all of a sudden now the demonic stronghold that was resident in the idolatry that the people of God were worshiping towards the idol now becomes susceptible to be torn down. And that's what happened here. That's just an aside. Let's get back. So that brings us to where we are today, the sound of rain. Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain. There was no rain. There was a sound of rain. Now, you got to realize that Elijah is a prophet of the Lord. As a prophet, Old Testament prophets are different than New Testament prophets. This is worthy of mentioning, by the way. We cannot bring Old Testament standards into the New Testament. In the Old Testament, people did not have the Spirit of God. And so when a prophet spoke, it was, thus saith the Lord, and you heard what he said, and you did what he said. But the consequences of missing it were grave. You could be killed, you could be stoned as a prophet if you brought a false word of God. In the New Testament, we all have the Spirit of God. We're all able to discern whether something is from God or not. Do we still have New Testament prophets? Yes. But New Testament prophets are not to be judged as people. They're to be judged by their message. So it doesn't matter whether someone is a prophet of God or says, thus saith the Lord. The Bible tells us that we're still to judge the message. Right? The message is always susceptible to be judged. What does it mean to be judged? Is it in agreement with God's word? Is it in agreement with God's principles? You can miss it and still be a prophet of God in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a lot more dire consequences, right? But we're not an Old Testament model. We're in a New Testament model. And the Bible says we all can prophesy. I don't know about you, but if everybody were to start playing tennis, some of us would do it better than others. But we can all play. But there's going to be a period of time where we grow and become better at what we do. We may never be number one in the world. We may never be even in professional, but we can all do it. But we have to have grace. In the New Testament, it is a measure. There is grace to prophesy and grace whenever we miss it. But at the same time, we are in a necessity to hear the word of the Lord. And Elijah is a prophet. He's an Old Testament prophet. But as a prophet, he receives revelation from God about what God is doing or about to do. We call that forth-telling. What is God doing? You bring forth what God is doing. And most of what prophets did was forth-telling. This is what God wants you to do. And then there is a dimension called foretelling, where you say, this is what God is going to do. Okay? The thing about the word of the Lord that we must understand is that it's not always evident with our eyes what God is saying is either taking place or about to take place. Sometimes we think the word of the Lord is akin to looking around and giving a broadcast like a newscast about what we see happening. And it's not that at all. The word of the Lord is what God reveals to the prophet that is taking place from his perspective, whether the people can witness it with their eyes or not, whether they see it in the present or not. And my point in all this is that God tells Elijah when he says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. We hear thunder. We hear lightning. And we say, it's about to rain. But it's another thing when it's been a drought for 3.5 years. There's no cloud in the sky. There's no thunder in the distance. There's no lightning. And as a prophet of the Lord or as a prophetic people, we hear the Lord saying, there is a sound of an abundance of rain. And by faith, with what God told him, he tells Ahab and consequently the people as well that particular word of God, that there is a sound of abundance of rain, as I said before, in the middle of a famine. It reminds me of Isaac in the Old Testament whenever he was in Philistine territory and there was a drought going on and he wanted to go down to Egypt. And the Lord said, don't go down to Egypt. Well, you might think to yourself, how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to take care of my sheep? How am I going to raise crops? All these things that I need. But the word of the Lord is, don't go down to Egypt. I'm with you. I don't remember the full context, but that's basically what God said. So by faith, Isaac sowed in a time of famine. Not because the newscast says it's favorable, not because the weather looked like it was favorable or there's favorable conditions for a crop, but because God said, this is what I'm going to do. And it takes faith to believe God and plant crops when it doesn't look in the natural like things are going to happen. It takes faith to start a business when you're in the middle of this stuff called Bidenomics. It takes faith, if you hear from God, to launch out from what God says, not on what you see. When God told Peter to launch out into the deep when they had been fishing all night and there was nothing, and then he says to them, put your nets on the other side of the boat, it takes faith to hear from God and do something that in the natural we know is fruitless. But when God says, this is what I'm doing and this is what I'm going to do, if you will trust God and believe God, you can take it to the bank that God is bigger than whatever is happening in the natural. Elijah tells the people, this is what God is saying and what God is doing. Now it's up to the people to believe God, to receive what God is saying and doing, and conform themselves to His word, whether they can see it with their eyes or not. Another way of saying this is that the word of the Lord is not just informative, but the word of the Lord is causative. Like dynamite, it contains power, but what activates that power is faith. This word of the Lord that rain was, the word of the Lord is that rain was coming, but the reality of what Elijah was proclaiming is that a change of season was now here. And that brings me to my second point, the season of abundance. Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is, not there will be, there is the sound of an abundance of rain. The translation I read sometimes is the ESV, and actually translate this as, Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain. While both are valid ways of translating the text, I want to land on the idea of rushing or abundance. Elijah said to Ahab, there is an abundance, a sound of an abundance of rain. Now, again, we can't lightly pass over the context of what is taking place at this particular time. There had been no rain at all. For 3.5 years, there was not a single drop of rain that had fallen on the nation of Israel. Not only that, the weather outside was still hot. It was still dry. And there appeared to be no change in the foreseeable forecast. So it wasn't that there was no rain. There was absolutely no chance of rain. Kind of like July in Texas, in this area. Almost every July, you'll go 4 to 6 weeks or more without rain. And you go outside and you look at your grass and you begin to cry. But rain will come. But we know that in the natural. Because we have all the charts, we have all the patterns, we have all these kind of things. But they did not. For 3.5 years, no rain. The season had been and continued to be for the people at that particular moment one of barrenness, one of dryness. Into this dynamic, Elijah prophesies that it's going to rain. Not just any rain, it was going to be an abundance of rain. But more than that, the context of what Elijah was saying is that it would be more than just a one-time rain, but the rain would begin to fall and would resume its regular course in the land. So it wasn't just a change of weather that Elijah was prophesying, but he was prophesying a change of seasons. It's one thing to prophesy a change of seasons when you know the season is coming in the natural. It's another thing to prophesy a change of seasons when it will take a supernatural act of God to bring it about. You know, a lot of prophets today, they prophesy what you can see. Oh, I see you're discouraged. Duh. Anybody can see I'm discouraged. That's not prophecy. That's like, you get a clue. I got a clue. No, prophesying is prophesying change. It's prophesying God's desire, God's purpose in someone's life. That's what it is. Not just noting what is there. Right? So Elijah was not just noting what is there. He heard from God. And what made Elijah was he was bold enough to say, this is what I heard, and so I'm stepping out in faith. And we've got to learn from that. But anyway, getting back, the word of the Lord was abundance. That brings us to our third point, the submission of faith. 1 Kings 18, 41 through 42, Elijah says to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink. Now, you got to think about this, right? First of all, we're going to look at the king's faith. Elijah commands the king to go up and eat and drink. Now, think about the irony of that statement. No one commands a king. We live in a democracy. So, you know, we don't like something so-and-so is doing, we don't like something there, we just send them a letter and say, well, I don't like that, you need to change that, you need to do what you're going to do. But when you live under a true monarchy, it doesn't happen that way. The king's rule is law. And the king can really make life good for you, or he can really make life bad for you. But one thing you don't want to do is issue a command to a king. Not only that, Elijah is the one that prophesied 3.5 years of economic downfall. Bidenomics. He said, how long are you going to keep that up? Well, it's my way of just letting you know this is a bunch of malarkey. And we need a change, right? But anyway, Elijah tells and commands the king to go up and eat and drink. He basically gives him orders, and Elijah's telling the king to celebrate because the breakthrough has come. Not coming, the breakthrough has come. Why? Because he heard it from God. And if you heard it from God, in Elijah's mind, it's as good as gold. You take it to the bank. What's significant to me is that the king obeys the commands issued to Elijah and goes up and eats and drinks as he was directed. This obedience was a sign that the king was beginning to believe in the word of God. Well, why would he believe in the word of God? Because of what God just did in the land. Elijah said, you get your prophets together, I'll get myself together, I'll be the prophet on this side, and you can have all your prophets pray for rain, for God to answer by fire. I'll pray to answer by fire. And guess who God answered? Elijah. And the king was there. The king could have prevented the people from slaughtering the prophets of Baal. But he didn't do that. Why? Because he saw that God was God. And he saw that Elijah was prophesying the word of the Lord. Right? By the way, there is coming a time when many of these false prophets of Baal are going to be taken care of. I'm just telling you. It's going to happen. They will be revealed for the false words and the false promises and the two-facedness that they carry, and they will be judged. Because, not because God hates people, but because he doesn't like when people use their position and their power to subdue and subjugate people. We're supposed to use power and authority to help people, not aggrandize ourselves. Right? And that time is coming. And I'm not telling you that just out of my own desire. I feel like, as I was preaching, I didn't plan on doing this. I feel like I'm hearing that it's about to turn around. It's coming. So, this obedience of the king was a sign that he was beginning to believe the word of God. Obedience is submitting your will to another. Paul says in Romans 1 and 5, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. Now, why is that important? Because faith without obedience is not faith. Faith is only faith when we obey. Faith without works is dead. You show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You say you believe, but you don't do. So you can question whether you believe or not. But if you do, and you say you do what you say, then it's evident that you believe. Right? James 2, 17 through 18. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Elijah's faith. We looked at the king's faith, now we look at Elijah's faith. Not only does the king display faith, but so does Elijah. How? He's heard the promise of God for rain. In faith, he prophesies rain, and then he begins to intercede in keeping with the prophetic word. And as he does, by faith, he looks toward the sky to see if the promise has begun to manifest. And when it hasn't begun to manifest, he didn't quit. He didn't say, well, I guess I didn't hear from God. No, he said, I'm going to keep praying until what God promised me manifested. He was praying not because he didn't believe God. He was praying because he did believe God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was praying because he believed God. And since prayer is the subject of the next point, let's just move on to the next point. He took number four, and the reason that these are kind of different, I tried to start them all with the letter S. I'm trying to get rid of that stuff, but it just happens. And we call this the station of intercession, okay? So when Ahab went up to eat and drink, Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And by the way, Elijah knew that he didn't have to pray anymore. When Elijah heard the word of the Lord for rain, he understood that there was a responsibility to partner with God in prayer. And see, that's where most of us miss it, just to be honest. We get a prophetic word, we say, thank you, God, and we move on, and we don't begin to intercede that what God promised us would begin to manifest in our life. But how do I do that? Lord, I believe what you said. I believe what you said. Let's just use business as an example. I believe that you're calling me to be a businessman. I believe that, or a businesswoman. I believe you. And Lord, so I'm going to begin to pray until I begin to see the full manifestation of what you call me. I come into agreement with your word. In the natural, it doesn't look any way, reason or any way why I should do this. But I'm not moving by the natural. I'm moving by what you say. I come into agreement with what you say, and I begin to pray, God, that your prophetic word to me, that I will be a businessman or a businesswoman. I will have my own business. I begin to pray it in, and I begin to prophesy, and I begin to speak into the environment, into the atmosphere. The word of the Lord is, I will have a business. I will be used of God in the business world, in the entrepreneurial world. Why? Because God said it. And you begin to come into line with God's word. Why? Because he said, when you pray, pray this way. Thy kingdom come, the will of God. Thy will be done, the will of God, in my life as it is in heaven. I see or I hear what the will of God is, and then I begin to intercede that the will of God would manifest in my life. That's what Elijah was doing, right? So in Genesis 1:26, it said, let us make man in our image, and let them have dominion. I forgot to put the word dominion up there, but that's what it says. Did you notice? You can't notice it because it's not there, but if you have your Bibles, you will notice it. It says, let them have dominion. He gave humanity authority to rule and reign in this planet. True authority is tied to relationship. We were never authorized to rule without God, but we were authorized to bring His will into this arena that we live in, walk in, talk in, and function in. Matthew 16, 19 in the New American Standard Version says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. In other words, I look up, I say, what's not happening in heaven? Oh, but it's happening here. So in the name of Jesus, I bind that thing. You're not allowed to function here. I look up in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. So I look up into heaven, and what is loosed in heaven? I see what's loosed in heaven, and I see that it needs to be loosed on here because it's not happening here. So I say in the name of Jesus, I loose this in my life in this realm. Is there any sickness in heaven? So I look in my life or somebody else's life, and I look and I recognize that, hey, they got sickness, they're battling with sickness, disease, infirmity, and affliction, and I say, that's not in the heavenly realm. So if it's not in the heavenly realm, I have authority to restrict it in the earthly realm. If someone is doing what they're supposed to do, they're giving, they're paying their tithes, the Bible says that God will rebuke the devourer. But if they're doing what they're supposed to do and the devourer is still wreaking havoc with them, I say, no, I rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. You are not allowed, according to the word of God, to function in these people's lives. Now, what do I see in heaven? The Bible says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's not a matter of meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so if somebody's walking around and they're not experiencing joy, then I can do the opposite. I can say, I bind the spirit of discouragement and depression, but I loose joy in your life. Why? Because whatever we bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. So it's not, I want 12 Rolls Royces. It's not that. So please don't mistake. We are under authority. We are accomplishing His will, not ours. Right? So in Jesus, as a man in partnership with His Father, by the Spirit of God, said His work was to bring the will of God into manifestation in this planet. He said, my food, in John 4:34, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. And so back with Elijah, we see Elijah partnering with God through the prophetic word and through prayer to bring God's will into manifestation. He partnered with the word by praying for the word that He gave, which says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Right? James 5:17-18 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. Right? Sometimes when I go to bed, I pray for people. But have you ever been really tired? And you're like, but I promised I would pray for these people. Oh, God, bless what I do. Bless and bless. Amen. When you're not so tired, you're really into it. When you are tired, you just kind of do the routine, right? Elijah didn't do a routine. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. By the way, that'll preach in of itself, because he gave a word that for 3.5 years, until the Lord gave another word, it wouldn't rain. So what did he do? He prayed that it wouldn't rain earnestly. And then it didn't rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again when he got the word of the Lord. And the Bible says heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. The earth is not going to produce its fruit with one rain. It's going to produce fruit when there is a season of rain. What are we supposed to gather from what Elijah was doing? In this scripture, in James, he's telling the people about the power of prayer and using the prophet Elijah as an example. His point in doing so was to emphasize the point that he had been making. He was emphasizing the importance and the power of prayer for the people of God. By the way, we used this scripture when we were praying for people here a little bit earlier in James 5:13-16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. So what is the word of the Lord? What is the word of God if you're suffering? Pray. You hear? Well, if anybody or anything tells you different, it's not God, because it violates his word. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. No exceptions. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith might save the sick, will save the sick, and the Lord might raise him up. The Lord will raise him up. And by the way, the Bible says, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Why is that important? Because sometimes you pray, and sometimes it has nothing to do with anything. It's just you got to pray and pray and pray, and sometimes until it rains. But sometimes when the healing doesn't manifest, is because there's stuff in your life that needs to be removed that's hindering the healing. Right? That's why it goes on and says, confess your faults or your trespasses to one another. And then pray for one another that you may be healed. So if you're not experiencing the full weight of God's promise to heal you, one is it might be that you just need to pray more, but two is there might be something obstructing. Just like the shrapnel in the wounds. You got to pull it out so that healing can manifest in your life, right? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, and we could say woman, avails much. We could also say children as well. It is once again in this context that James uses Elijah and how he prayed as an illustration to emphasize the power and the importance of prayer. We, his church, are to partner with the word of the Lord in and through prayer to bring his will into fruition in our lives and in the world around us. And that brings us to our last point, the start of the promise. It came to pass the seventh time, what, he was praying and the man went to go see if it was raining yet. Not, hey, is it ever going to rain? But is it raining yet? And he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And so he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. It happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And so Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. After Elijah completed his intercession, it was complete when the will of God began to manifest. I would say it is complete when God's will begins to manifest, or if you get a specific word from God that says you don't have to pray anymore, it's done. So what happened when the will of God began to manifest? Elijah didn't say, oh, I hope it comes to fruition. I hope it's not just a little shower. I hope it's not this. No, Elijah, by faith, sends a word to Ahab, and he says, run! Run! Why? Because it's about to rain. And it's not just going to rain. It's going to rain abundantly. What's important here is that it's not raining just once, but it will keep on raining. As I said before, this is not a one-time occurrence of rain, but a season is changing to where the rain will continue to fall, and the lives of the people and the lives of the nation will change forever. Shouldn't say that. For the better, as long as the people walk in agreement with the Lord. So to recap, and I just felt a little bit earlier that the Lord was going to give us a prophetic word. I think he's using me to do it, but the Lord would confirm that in a moment. He said, well, why do you say that? Because sometimes stuff happens when you speak it. Not just hear it, you got to speak it forth. So to recap, Elijah prophesied that it was going to rain. So if you feel like you have that, let me know. It was not just going to be a one-time rain, but it was going to be an abundance of rain. The context of what Elijah was saying is that the rain would begin to its regular course in the land. So it wasn't a change of weather alone, but he was prophesying a change of seasons, and the season would be a season of abundance. And in a way, I guess what I'm saying here is the Lord led me to preach this, and so by faith, I'm prophesying a season of abundance is on its way. And listen, it's not just me that's prophesying. We had a prophet come, a prophetic man of God come, Danny Johnson, and he said, you're about to see the double. You're going to see the devil spiritually, you're going to see the devil numerically, and you're going to see the devil financially. Yeah. It's coming. Yeah. And you know what we've battled since then? We've battled the enemy saying, no, you're not. Our finances saying, no, you're not. Right? The numbers saying, no, you're not. So what do you bow down to? Do you bow down to what you see, or you bow down to what God said? I want to go with what God said. So what do we do as a church? God, you promised, you said it, by faith, we continue to prophesy that we're entering into a season of abundance. What matters is not what we see, but what God says. And I believe he's saying it's a change of seasons, and in this season, we're going to see an abundance of rain. Now, like Elijah, let's believe God and partner with the will of God in praying through until we see manifest what he says is going to take place in our midst.